Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. Jordan Peterson has resigned due to anti-white racism. He's tired of having to train. He says, essentially, I'm training young white males that are becoming excellent, and I train them very good, but they will have no job. And he says, there's just not enough BIPOC. There's just not enough black people and Native American and women to meet the diversity and inclusion criteria that they want us to meet. He's saying the system wants us to have 50% BIPOCs, and there's just not enough BIPOCs with talent that I can train. And so I'm training these white males, and I know they're not going to get a job. So in a way, I'm training them in graduate school, and I'm lying to them, because the reality is there will be no place for them in the system, because the system has become anti-white and racist. We're going to read his full letter. He's only resigning from his active professor position. He will remain an emeritus professor, essentially, but doing nothing. It's going to be a symbolic position that he keeps, which I'm like, if you're really against the system, why would you honor the system with your name by accepting your emeritus professor position? I mean, I'm not going to annoy him with this. I guess he's taking the decision on the basis that it still keeps him inside the system so that he can contest it from inside. But, you know, if you're going to do a symbolic resignation, I find it very weak that you accept to keep the other job, and you're like, oh yeah, I'm still going to be an emeritus professor overseeing this entire corrupt system from the inside. But just before this, oh my God, this is scary. I wish you could hear these words in your native language. A Quebec TV show. This is a very known, very well-known host of a mainstream Quebec TV show, Julie Snyder, and she talks to kids, and the kids are like, yeah, let's oppress the unvaccinated. This cannot come from their mind. Someone has inserted this crap inside their mind. Let's listen to it, and I will try to translate as it happens.
Au vaccin, vous autres?
Oui, tous les deux, on a une seule dose.
Do you have your vaccines, you guys? Yes, we both have one dose of the vaccine.
Ah oui, puis est-ce que vous êtes d'accord, vous autres, avec la vaccination obligatoire?
And what do you think about mandatory vaccination?
Oui. Oui.
They all say yes, all together.
Ah oui, hein?
Wow.
On dirait que je les ai drillés, Julie. Oui.
And the mother is like, it looks like I trained them. It looks like I drilled them. Yeah, it looks like you did.
Puis qu'est-ce qu'on devrait faire avec les gens qui veulent pas se faire vacciner?
And she's like, and I know there are the subtitles, but some people are watching us in MP3 format. And so I'm going to translate by voice still. And she's like, what should we do with the people who don't want the vaccines?
On devrait appeler la police.
Ooh.
This young child is answering, we should call the police. We should call the police. Imagine thinking this at 8 years old. We should call the police on the unvaxxed.
Oui.
Oui.
S'ils ont pas leur...
And some kind of man there, maybe his father, I don't know, but he's like, "You, yes, yes." He's kind of encouraging him to say these things.
Leur vaccin, ça peut mettre beaucoup de personnes en danger.
Because if they don't have their vaccine, it can make a lot of people in danger, and so call the police.
Et fait, comme le gouvernement est en train de faire en ce moment, il faut leur couper petites choses.
So just like the government is doing to them right now, we should slowly cut a little thing, and then a little thing, and then a little thing, until they get their vaccination.
Petite, jusqu'à temps qu'ils se tannent puis qu'ils se fassent vacciner.
You have this young girl, I don't know, maybe 10-year-old, And she's like, you have to remove some rights and then some rights and then some rights until they're tired. And when they're tired enough, they're going to get vaccinated. I mean, we have the communist regime that is controlling our nation is so powerful. It can get young children on the public space and mainstream media just spouting their talking points, spouting their plans for oppression. This is one of the most scary things I've seen come out of Quebec. Not so. I mean, of course, the fact that they've been attacking white people, that they've been attacking the family for so many years, that has been, of course, very scary. But the fact that they can have young children spout out these talking points, this means we're in total communist overtake levels. And this is also what Jordan Peterson is complaining against. Jordan Peterson, why I'm no longer a tenured professor at the University of Toronto, a text published 3 hours ago, the appalling ideology of diversity, inclusion, and equity is demolishing education and business. By the way, how are you doing, people of the regular chat? If you would like to support the show, join the Odyssey system. And you can subscribe in your settings. You'll have to go in your settings and enable super chats in the form of cash. And then this will allow you to use the support button on Odyssey if you'd like to send hyper chats, or you can send them using the LBC cryptocurrency right away. Or you can use our Entropy link. Entropy is my favorite platform for super chats. It is right below the video. And our poll tonight on Entropy is, are you happy Jordan resigned as a tenured professor? I'm happy he's bringing attention to this issue, but this has been going on for a long time. And Sprocket says, Jeff, does Peterson name anti-white racism by name? Kind of. He still keeps it in his usual... oh my God, this is so much race essentialism. He's still within this mainstream view of but identity politics is wrong. But I think that in his position right now, he should understand why understanding yourself as white in this environment is helpful to understand how much there is an attack on white people. So in any case, join the Entropy link below the video. Entropy is my favorite platform for super chats, and it is the right way to support the show, or the support button under the video. But for that, you do need, this is what I found today, for the support button on Odyssey to be enabled in cash mode, you have to enable it in your settings. You have to be logged in on Odyssey. I recently resigned from my position as full tenured professor at the University of Toronto. I am now professor emeritus, and before I turned 60. Emeritus is generally a designation reserved for superannuated faculty, albeit those who had served their term with some distinction. I had envisioned teaching and researching at the University of Toronto full time, until they had to haul my skeleton out of my office. I loved my job, and my students, undergraduates and graduates alike, were positively predisposed toward me. But that career path was not meant to be. There were many reasons, including the fact that I can now teach many more people, and with less interference online. But here's a few more. Nicolas Petris says, F, is there a bug? No, I don't think there's a bug. Everything seems to be working here on this side. Let's keep reading the Jordan Peterson. Okay, the stream is Buffy McBuffering. We're going to try to do our best for the Odyssey stream to not be buffering. Of course... I'm reduced in terms of the quality of the video. I'm reduced pretty much to the minimum. I'm at 720p. A Firestarter says, stream is good now. No issue here. Okay, lots of people have no issue. So I guess it's a restricted issue for some people. First, my qualified and supremely trained heterosexual white male graduate students, and I've had many others, by the way, face a negligible chance of being offered university research positions, despite stellar scientific dossier. This is partly because diversity, inclusivity, and equity mandates, my preferred acronym, DIE, these have been imposed universally in academia. Despite the fact that university hiring committees had already done everything reasonable for all the years of my career, and then some, to ensure that no qualified minority candidates were ever overlooked. My students are also partly unacceptable precisely because they are my students. I am academic persona non grata because of my unacceptable philosophical positions, and this isn't just some inconvenience. These facts rendered my job morally untenable. How can I accept prospective researchers and train them in good conscience, knowing their employment prospects to be minimal? And so here Jordan is saying, if I train all these white male who are the only ones coming to my lab and I train them either or coming to my courses, they won't get a job. It won't work. Because elsewhere in academia, they will force these people out by dismissing them on the basis of their race. He's saying, I cannot function anymore because there's so much white people who want to become PhDs and have all sorts of diplomas, but the system has made them persona non grata. And on top of it, if you've been associated with Jordan Peterson, if you have on your CV that Jordan Peterson was your, PhD or master's guide, you're worth nothing on the market. Because the market has been bent. Of course, it's not a true market. It's the market of these human resource ladies who have overtaken the entire functioning of society. Second reasons. This is one of many issues of appalling ideology currently demolishing the universities and downstream the general culture. Not least because there simply is not enough qualified BIPOC people in the pipeline to meet diversity targets quickly enough, BIPOC meaning Black, Indigenous, and people of color, for those of you not in the knowing woke. This has been common knowledge among any remotely truthful academic who has served on a hiring committee for the last three decades. This means we're out to produce a generation of researchers utterly unqualified for the job. And we've seen what that means already in the horrible Griven studies disciplines. That, combined with the death of objective testing, has compromised the university so badly that it can hardly be overstated. And what happens in the universities eventually colors everything, as we have discovered. So here we have Jordan telling us we are forcing the system to hire diverse people from minorities, and there's just not enough of them. And so the system ends up hiring incompetent people. We are headed toward a generation of failed researchers, failed science. All my Craven colleagues must craft DIE statements to obtain a research grant. They all lie, excepting the minority of true believers, and they teach their students to do the same. And they do it constantly with various rationalizations and justifications, further corrupting what is already a stunningly corrupt enterprise. Some of my colleagues even allow themselves to undergo so-called anti-bias training, conducted by supremely unqualified human resources personnel, lecturing inanely and blithely and in an accusatory manner about theoretically all-pervasive racist, sexist, heterosexist attitudes. Such training is now often a precondition to occupy a faculty position on a hiring committee. Absolutely. I've been facing these trainings, and this is the time at which I started leaving the university. It's like they talk to you like you're certainly a rapist, and you need to be taught how not to rape. absolutely ridiculous. Need I point out that implicit attitudes cannot, by the definitions generated by those who have made them a central point of our culture, be transformed by short-term explicit training, assuming that those biases exist in the manner claimed, and that is a very weak claim, and I'm speaking scientifically here. The implicit association test, the much vaunted IAT, which purports to objectively diagnose implicit bias, that's automatic racism and the like, is by no means powerful enough, valid and reliable enough to do what it purports to do. Two of the original designers of that test, Anthony Greenwald and Brian Nozick, have said as much publicly. The third, Professor Mazarin Banerjee of Harvard, remains recalcitrant. Much of this can be attributed to her overtly leftist political agenda, as well as to her embeddedness within a subdiscipline of psychology, social psychology, so corrupt that it denied the existence of left-wing authoritarianism for six decades after World War II. The same social psychologists, broadly speaking, also casually regard conservatism, in the guise of system justification, as a form of psychopathology. Banerjee's continued countenancing of the misuse of her research instrument, combined with the status of her position at Harvard, is a prime reason we still suffer under the Dye yoke, with its baleful effect on what was once the closest we had ever come to truly meritorious selection. A close friend and one of the few colleagues that remain friendly to me, and someone clearly liberal left, by the way, told me flat out that the new crop of his university's psychology graduate students, selected without the objective graduate record examination, cannot handle the first-year statistics class. The result? Bubbling innuendo that the content is racist. By the way, everything in the social sciences and medicine, for that matter, stands or falls with honest and competent statistics. That is something that I observed myself. People are now expecting they can have a full university education without any sort of understanding of mathematics. Tillman says, is JF buffering really bad for anyone else? There were some people for whom it was buffering. Some other people, it's not buffering. If you have a VPN enabled, disable your VPN. Important. Odyssey does not handle VPNs very well. Furthermore, the accrediting boards for graduate clinical psychology training programs in Canada are now planning to refuse to accredit university clinical programs unless they have a social justice orientation. That, combined with some recent legislative changes in Canada, claiming to outlaw so-called conversion therapy, but really making it exceedingly risky for clinicians to do anything ever but agree always and about everything with their clients, have likely doomed the practice of clinical psychology, which always depended entirely on trust and privacy. Similar moves are afoot in other professional disciplines, such as medicine and law. And if you don't think that psychologists, lawyers, and other professionals are anything but terrified of their now woke governing professional colleges, much to everyone's extreme detriment, you simply don't understand how far this has all gone. Very soon, the wokeness that is being introduced right now in universities will be attempted to be applied on all sorts of other domains outside of the university in the professional practice of basically everyone that stems from any sort of training. Just exactly what am I supposed to do when I meet a graduate student or young professor hired on diversity grounds, manifest instant skepticism regarding their professional ability? What a slap in the face to a truly meritorious young outsider. And perhaps that's the point. The Dye ideology is not friend to peace and tolerance. It is absolutely and completely the enemy of competence and justice. And for those of you who think I'm overstating the case, or that this is something limited in some trivial sense to the universities, consider some other example. And he goes on to describe the hiring, the whole BIPOC system of hiring in Hollywood, where they have to, the only question they ask is it a project that has diversity? FD says, I got 1 Gbps up and down and it buffs for like a second. All right, well, that's good. Hopefully Odyssey will be, I know that they're working. They said in their 2022 goals, they are working to stop the buffering. And this is everywhere. And if you don't see it, your head is either in the sand or shoved somewhere far more unmentionable. CBS, for example, has literally mandated that every writer's room be at least 40% BIPOC in 2021, 50% in 2022. We are now at the point where race, ethnicity, gender, and sexual preference is first accepted as the fundamental characteristic defining each person, just as the radical leftists were hoping, and second is now treated as the most important qualification for study, research, and employment. Sprocket says, Jeff, what share is of your audience is BIPOC? I do not know, and I'd rather not know, because if I ever know this data, eventually I would inherit all sorts of legal responsibilities, and I don't want to know. My crowd is anonymous. We are now at the point where race, ethnicity, gender, or sexual... Okay, this one I read. Need I point out that this is insane? Even the benighted New York Times has its doubts. A headline from August 11, 2021. Are workplace diversity programs doing more harm than good? In a word, yes. How can accusing your employees of racism, etc., be sufficient to require retraining, particularly in relationship to those who are working in good faith to overcome whatever bias they might still, in these modern liberal times, manifest? Be anything other than insulting, annoying, invasive, high-handed, moralizing, inappropriate, ill-considered, counterproductive, and otherwise unjustifiable. By the way, as I read through this letter, I realize that we have a double program tonight. So don't forget, if you are part of the Patreon or the Mythical Moose members at YouTube or the Subscribestar, tonight will be our private hangout. If you want to join us in the private monthly discussion of JFG Tonight, it's happening tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, right after this regular show. And if you think DAI is bad, wait until you get a load of environmental, social, and governance scores. Purporting to assess corporate moral responsibility, these scores, which can dramatically affect an enterprise's financial viability, are nothing less than the equivalent of China's damnable social credit system applied to the entrepreneurial and financial world. CEOs, what in the world is wrong with you? Can't you see that the ideologues who push such appalling nonsense are driven by an agenda that is not only absolutely antithetical to your free market enterprise as such, but precisely targeted at the freedoms that made your success possible? Can't you see that by going along sheep-like, just as the professors are doing, just as the artists and writers are doing, that you are generating a veritable fifth column within your businesses? Are you really so blind, cowed, and cowardly with all your so-called privilege? And it's not just the universities and the professional colleges and Hollywood and the corporate world. DAI, that radical leftist trinity, is destroying us. Wondering what the divisiveness that is currently besetting us, look no farther than DAI. Wondering more specifically about the attractiveness of Trump, look no farther than DAI. When does the left go too far? when they worship at the altar of Dai and insist that the rest of us, who mostly want to be left alone, do so as well. Enough already. Enough. Enough. Finally, do you know that Vladimir Putin himself is capitalizing on this woke madness? Anna Majar Barducci at memory.org covered his recent speech. I quote from the article's translation. The advocates of so-called social progress believe they are introducing humanity to some kind of a new and better consciousness. Godspeed, hoist the flags, as we say, go right ahead. The only thing that I want to say now is that their prescriptions are not new at all. It may come as a surprise to some people, but Russia has been there already. After the 1917 revolution, the Bolsheviks, relying on the dogmas of Marx and Engels, also said they would change existing ways and customs, and not just political and economic ones, but the very notion of human morality and the foundations of a healthy society. The destruction of age-old values, religion, and relations between people, up to and including the total rejection of family. We had that too. Encouragement to inform of loved ones. All this was proclaimed progress, and by the way, was widely supported around the world back then, and was quite fashionable, same as today. By the way, the Bolsheviks were absolutely intolerant of opinions other than theirs. Wow, that is quite based of Jordan Peterson to be quoting essentially a comparison that Vladimir Putin makes between the Bolsheviks of yesterday and the Bolsheviks of today, and calling out that it's the same thing. The program that we're currently undergoing in terms of the reshaping of Western civilization is exactly what was done in the Russian Communist Revolution, the instauration of the USSR, and it is being done by the same forces, and it is being done with the attacks of the same elements of the traditional society, excellence, free market, liberty, family, religion. All of this was attacked in the Russian Revolution, the Communist Revolution, and all of it is being attacked right now in the West. Carnival says on entropy, also Jordan Peterson is complicit and owns some responsibility for effectively fighting the right wing in favor of his cringe and untenable centrist position. Yes, that's an interesting aspect to all this, which is that Jordan Peterson seems to be realizing stuff here, but in the end, he's partly guilty for complaining against people like me, complaining against people who have brought attention to these issues much earlier than he did, and who have taken a side, because Jordan Peterson's last position, and as of this writing, I would say it's still his position, is that you shouldn't engage in identity politics. It is wrong. But what else can we engage in the face of the aggression that Jordan Peterson is describing here? What else than understanding myself as a white person being victim of an unjust hiring system in academia? Can I understand? What alternative political goal should I have then to eventually protect my people from these attacks? I'm asking the question to Jordan, but Carnival, you're absolutely right on target. He was also saying, hearing Jordan Peterson write this reminds me of how I've come to enjoy the crumbling, the entropy. I see the sheep running toward the cliff. I can't stop them. But I don't want to stop them. I'm amused. Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly how I feel. It's at this point, I'm like, no, I'm not going to fix society. I'm going to enjoy every part of their suffering. James Doss says, in the USA, the tech... Because, you know, Jordan Peterson has limited himself in the past by saying things like, oh, we should... There's a discourse, there's a window of acceptable discourse, and we cannot talk to the people outside of this discourse. And outside of this discourse were people who make claims of racial differences and people who make claims of identity politics, essentially. You have a problem here, which is that a system is rising to force essentially the employment of BIPOC people and minorities of all kind with revendications. And the fundamental reason why it's wrong, it's that this system is hiring the wrong people. It's that, as Jordan Peterson himself writes in this article, there are just not enough BIPOC people to fill these positions. So what does that tell you about the initial position of Jordan, that we shouldn't engage on the question of differences across races? James Doss says, in the USA, the tech industry has solved the problem of not enough suitable POCs by importing endless numbers of tech workers from mainly India, abusing the H-1B visa system. The diversity lawfare industry frame game spoke about will ignore all Indian staffed firms, but crack down heavily on any team with too many whites. Yeah, the good Indians, you know, they are absolutely benefiting from this whole, from the fact that they happen to have a darker skin, that which makes them benefit from what is really a set of rules that have been enacted to help Africans, but eventually the Indians are benefiting from it. It's quite amazing. James Doss continues and he says, hiring practices made possible by arguments about writing historical oppression of blacks are now used to justify importing non-whites to cancel job opportunity for white American citizens. This is always how it ends up. It's always how it ends up. It's the goal would be to equalize, and eventually the only way that becomes available to equalize is to tap on the successful until they've been lowered enough that they look like the unsuccessful. This is the history of all socialist intervention. Absolutely. He continues with the quotation of Vladimir Putin. This, I believe, should call to mind some, or maybe he's not quoting Vladimir Putin, but he's quoting the article covering his speech. This, I believe, should call to mind some of what we are witnessing now. Looking at what is happening in a number of Western countries, we are amazed to see the domestic practices, which we fortunately have left, I hope, in the distant past. The fight for equality and against discrimination has turned into aggressive dogmatism, bordering on absurdity, when the works of the great authors of the past, such as Shakespeare, are no longer taught at schools or universities because their ideas are believed to be backward. The classics are declared backward and ignorant of the importance of gender or race. In Hollywood, memos are distributed about proper storytelling and how many characters of what color or gender should be in a movie. This is even worse than the agitprop department of the Central Committee of the Communist Party of the Soviet Union. This, from the head of the former totalitarian enterprise, against whom we fought a 5-decades-long Cold War, risking the entire planet, this from the head of a country riven in a literally genocidal manner by ideas that Putin himself attributes to the progressives in the West, to the generally accepting audience of his once burned, once twice shy listeners. Okay, that is some intense writing right here. Calm down, Jordan. Turn it down two notches on the semantic structure. And all of you going along with the die activists, whatever your reasons, this is on you. Professors cowering cravenly in pretense and silence, teaching your students to dissimulate and lie, to get along, as the walls crumble, for shame. CEOs signaling a virtue you don't possess and shouldn't want to please a minority who literally live their lives by displeasure. You're evil capitalist after all and should be proud of it. At the moment, I can't tell if you're more reprehensibly timid even than the professors. Why the hell don't you banish the human resource die upstarts back to the more appropriately named personal departments? Stop them from interfering with the psyches of you and your employees and be done with it. Musicians, artists, writers, stop bending your sacred and meritorious art to the demands of the propagandist before you fatally betray the spirit of your own intuition. Stop censoring your thoughts. Stop saying you will hire for your orchestral and theatrical productions for any other reason than talent and excellence. That's all you have. That's all any of us have. He who sows the wind will reap the whirlwind, and the wind is rising. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Filthy Bayuso says, Peterson is slowly going full David Icke. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, but Jordan, like, the wind rising, what kind of wind? If there's a wind that must rise against the oppression of white people that you describe, it would have to be the wind of white people taking consciousness that they are under attack and fixing it. What else? Because the people who are favored by the system that you describe will not combat it. Like the Indian guys that James Duss was talking about, even they don't have an interest in combating the Dai ideology. So who does? The only people who do are those people who are being deprived of opportunity by this system, which is a system of appropriation. In the same way the system of land appropriation works in South Africa, there is currently a system of money appropriation and tenured position appropriation and mainstream position appropriation and salary from the government appropriation that is going on in Canada. And just like every system that has led to the seizing of a land and sometimes the death of farmers in South Africa, you have in Canada right now the seizing of university positions, the seizing of journalistic position, the seizing of everything that could have been gotten by a white person. So where do we go from now? How does the wind rise, Jordan? By advocating for excellence and meritocracy in front of people who clearly don't have an interest in talking about it and believing in those concepts? I'm encouraged by the fire in Jordan's writing, but I know also that he doesn't have the principles to go further than just writing that way. This was covered at the Post-Millennial. Jordan Peterson resigns from full professorship position at the University of Toronto. Peterson says his white male students are likely going to be unable to find work in their fields despite being highly qualified. Tuttle Grimm says he just can't do it. Well, see? Isn't that Jordan Peterson doing it? Did Jordan Peterson finally face his fear of doing it? And he may have just done it here by quoting Putin, because this is Putin doing what Jordan Peterson can't do, saying, look, all of this was proclaimed progress and, by the way, was widely supported around the world back then and was quite fashionable, same as today. By the way, the Bolsheviks were absolutely intolerant of opinions other than theirs. Isn't the quote from Vladimir Putin here a reference to a comparison between the Bolsheviks of Russia and the Bolsheviks of today in the West, which, if you remember the initial situation in which Jordan Peterson was asked this question that he couldn't do, it was the question of, hey, if Bolsheviks have led to a genocide before, couldn't it lead to a genocide today against white people? It seems that Jordan Peterson is getting warmed at doing it. Maybe one day we'll have Jordan emerged, like a kind of hero from a myth or from a cartoon, like these Marvel type of thing, and he will be like, I can do it. Tim Pool gets swatted again. Last night, strange men broke onto our property. So apparently there's three events reported by Tim Pool today. A guy has been joining the entry to Tim Pool's house when James O'Keefe came in and Endino. Another guy was with them, and he kind of slipped himself into the group as if he was some kind of employee of James O'Keefe, and he was successful at entering the Tim Pool house. He was eventually kicked out. There is also a swatting that has happened at the end of yesterday's show. It's not visible on camera, but apparently Tim is not reporting any detail about it because he says he wants to press charges. But I don't know if he wants to press charges against the people swatting him, or I think he says he will press charges certainly against the guy who entered his property, who acted like he was part of the James O'Keefe group and entered his house. But for pressing charges against the swatting people, you're going to have first to find who are the people swatting. And third event, the Timcast show is currently under attack and has been under attack for, well, they've been under attack many days ago and lasting up to yesterday. They've been under a DDoS attack, a denial of service, which consists simply in bombardment of their server with HTTP requests and that kind of stuff. So you send so much flow. He says it's a 1 gigabyte per second attack. That means essentially the equivalent that will essentially clog your entire fiber optics line. So, and it's a multiple site attack coming from around the world. What I would recommend to the Tim Pool people is use layer 7 solutions, as I've been doing with my new server. I have a server right here for arguably.io and jfg.world and serving the mp3s to people, and you can interface it with Cloudflare. Cloudflare is a system where everything will be channeled through Cloudflare, and they have artificial intelligence that allows them to detect what looks like a DDoS attack and to block it before it even gets to your server. So you use these solutions. I've personally had a dedicated server back in the days, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, and these solutions were not very well known. But right now it has become quite a standard to route through some high layer solution like Cloudflare. And I've been trying it and I'm amazed. Because the fact that all the traffic passes through them also leads them to acquire a lot of information. So you can have statistics on your, you can have statistics without doing them yourself, and you can be protected against DDoS attack. And importantly, it allows to hide your server. So if Tim Pool really wants to get into serious parallel infrastructure internet, Cloudflare is one way to go. Now, Cloudflare is not perfect. They once banned the Daily Stormer, for example. But they did it because the Daily Stormer was starting to publish false information about them. They said, look, we have this website. They're saying that we are Nazis like them, and we're not Nazis. So they shut the service to Daily Stormer, which is... it's like, okay, they're not fully free speech, but it seems that you have to do a lot to annoy them before they ban you. And most, so essentially, Cloudflare, and this is the service I've decided to opt for. It's amazing because it's kind of a proxy for your. Most of the time, you use proxies to communicate to the internet, but Cloudflare is a CDN, so it's essentially a reverse proxy. It's a proxy that is the facing part of your server. And if when you pass through Cloudflare, you essentially make it almost useless for you to need a position in a data center because they cache your website. So for example, every night I generate an MP3 of the show because I have a script now doing it. Now, what will happen is that a lot of people will want to download the MP3 of the show 1 hour after the show, 3 hours after the show, 24 hours after the show. But not many will need it a year from now. Most people will want the MP3 right after the show. So what Cloudflare does is it keeps a copy caged of your MP3, and their artificial intelligence kind of knows, okay, this guy, when he publishes an MP3, it's popular for 24 hours, which leads to essentially, most of the people downloading the MP3 don't have to get it through my server directly. They get the caged version at Cloudflare. And this significantly reduces the load on your server. So I have two modes that I can talk to you about. Cloudflare, if you use it on a MediaWiki installation, like arguably.io, that's a website that has a lot of refreshable content, a lot of user logins. And so because of it, not much of it is cacheable. So on that, you will get about 90% of the traffic still remains true traffic to the server. But on a website like jfg.world, where the MP3s don't move, once they're there, they're going to stay the same MP3s. The percentage of actual data that I have to serve is 20% rather than 90%. So essentially 80% of the load that would be on the server is slurped by Cloudflare. That I just wanted to talk to you guys about because I discovered all these things while setting up this server. So the Cloudflare dynamic, the fact that they exist, totally changes the game on the internet and on parallel internet infrastructure. Because the position in the data center is not important anymore. If you have something good at home, like a fiber optics connection like we do here, you can delegate to Cloudflare much of the work. And your server just becomes a backend, just, you know, original content of the information. It kind of holds the original root version of your website, but Cloudflare will be pulling from it as needed. Beautiful. I'm totally impressed. Now, it's a lot of setting up, and you have to set up a lot of things. And if you don't know what you're doing, it's hard. Sometimes the rewrite rules of the HTTP request are very bizarre, and you have to do a lot of work. It took me about 2 or 3 days. I've set it up. But one of the big advantages is for Tim Pool, is people will not know the IP address of your server. If you can set it up properly within Cloudflare, people shouldn't even know where you are. So they won't be able to DDoS you. Yesterday, I covered a news item concerning Parallel Economy and the Rumble crew. And I wasn't aware. But there has been some foul play here. So I'm sorry I covered this news without knowing, but Andrew Tarba from Gab, I didn't know, has trademarked the word parallel economy. So when Dan Bongino started Parallel Economy and associated with Rumble for the Super Chats payment processing system, what I didn't know is that he stole a name that was already filed by Andrew Tarba. Now, When I look at the archive.org records on parallel economy owned by Dan Bongino, I see that it has emerged on the internet on January 19th. So that means that January 19th is today. But it emerged on the internet about 2 or 3 days ago. Okay? There's no evidence that Dan Bongino has been developing parallel economy before that. Now, Andrew Torba has filed with the trademarks office on January 4 the name Parallel Economy. And Gab.com has been sending a legal threat to Dan Bongino saying, Rumble and Dan Bongino, this is a notice to retain all documents that might be pertinent to future litigation. You'll be hearing from our lawyers shortly. But I can't help but wonder, is Andrew Torba trolling here? Because why would it be that two different people, Dan Bongino and Andrew Torba, within the same month, in January 2022, have the idea to start a payment processing system and they want to call it Parallel Economy, which is not like, it's not an obvious name. It's quite a long name. It's bizarre to call a company that. So I'm wondering if there's not something we've not been told here by Andrew Torba. Is it possible that Andrew Torba learned in the back scene that Dan Bongino had the idea of developing this and benefiting from this hidden information, went as quickly as he could to the patents office and trademark office, registered the name just to troll Dan Bongino? I'm wondering about this because how is it possible that by less than 10 days difference, two people converge toward using the same name? Nicholas Petris says, I don't know if parallel economy as a term should be patentable. Well, it's not patented, it's trademarked. So you can trademark common name, like McDonald is a common name of a lot of people are named McDonald, but it's also a trademark that is reserved to the McDonald trademark. So this is a trademark registration. It was registered, filed on January 4th. So by January 4th, Andrew Torba registers Parallel Economy. 10 days later, Dan Bongino has a website and has a big announcement to mainstream media that Rumble will partner with Parallel Economy. And Parallel Economy is his website. Something here, there is some trolling going on. Is it Dan Bongino who stole Parallel Economy as an ID from Andrew Torba? Or is Andrew Torba trolling by perhaps he learned from some programmer, hey, Dan Bongino is preparing a website called Parallel Economy. And then he went and registered the trademark. Amazing. I'm putting out my popcorn. I want to follow this story. I'm really happy about Andrew Torba, whether it's trolling or whether it's true. I'm really happy about Torba going after the boomer net. And because we're investing these efforts into developing a parallel potential internet, and I don't have a good feeling about Getter and Parallel Economy and Rumble. I'm not sure they will leave as much free speech as they are trying to market themselves as they would. Some random bloke says, can you interview Torba? Oh, I would happily speak with Andrew Torba. It would be an honor for me to speak with him. Perhaps it would be a very good idea. In fact, I think he follows me on Gab. So I think it would be an ideal moment perhaps to write to him. He follows me on Gab. So perhaps it would be a right moment to invite Andrew Torba and figure out what is he playing here. That would be an amazing thing. Some random bloke sends a super chat on Entropy. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, did you see the Russian politician's claim that maybe American whites might have to flee to Siberia due to the anti-white racism in the US. I have not seen the claim, but that seems like a reasonable claim to me. I've been saying it again and again. The future of us white is as a diaspora fleeing from the land appropriation that we will be subjected to. Popo Vachian says, breaking, Fuentes subpoenaed to Congress about January 6th. Laughing my ass off, JF, Google it. Fuentes subpoenaed. Oh my God. January 6th, subpoenas, two far-right groypers. MSN News. January 6th committee subpoenas, far-right groypers, Nick Fuentes and Patrick Casey. The House Select Committee investigating the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol subpoenaed two far-right figures Wednesday, Nick Fuentes and Patrick Casey. Fuentes is the leader of the so-called Groyper Army and notably hosted Representative Paul Gosar as a keynote speaker at a far-right conference he held last year as a counter-programming to CPAC. Groypers are a loose network of alt-right figures who are vocal supporters of white nationalist ideals, often trolling mainstream conservative events to try and move conservatism more toward the far right. It's going to be fun. Look, if Nick Fuentes probably doesn't want to get into legal combat, and so he's probably going to go there, respect the subpoena. So he's probably going to use the opportunity to troll. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. It's quite amazing. Now, so it's that's what it is. That's the news item. I can't believe that they're using the term groypers on MSN News. Now, can someone do an optics checks, please? Can someone trigger the optics checks function? I would like to have an evaluation of the level of optics that we have attained. As DK Shadow points out, is this good optics? Justet says, so first, JFG says, patented. Nicholas Petris questions it, and JF corrects the error and says, Torba trademarked. Parallel economy. Hashtag difference noted. Well, can I be wrong about a single word once in a while? I've corrected it. Okay. I didn't even remember that I had said patented. It's just because the name of the trademarks office is the Patents and Trademark Office. Nicholas Petris says, I wonder if he'll pull an epic Joker moment. The thing is, I'm kind of surprised that the Democrats would do this, because what is the... If Nick Fuentes gets to Washington, D.C. and responds to them, perhaps they want to do it in a public hearing. In that case, you would use the opportunity to meme to the maximum. I mean, the guy with the ratings of Nick Fuentes would break. And or if they want to do it hidden, he's still going to use the opportunity to do a press conference before he gets into the hidden meeting. So it's very surprising that they would essentially drag public attention toward him. But that's what they've decided to do. Yesterday, I covered a news item that... Rachel Maddow was asking, complaining about Gorsuch, the Supreme Court justice, because apparently she was thinking that Gorsuch not wearing his mask was forcing Sotomayor out of the Supreme Court because Sotomayor didn't want to be infected with COVID and she doesn't want to be around non-masked people. And I was like, okay, that's ridiculous. But now the Supreme Court, it's very rare that this happens. The Supreme Court has issued a statement refuting this fake news. They say, no, it's not true that Neil Gorsuch refusing to wear a mask has forced Sotomayor out. Reporting that Justice Sotomayor asked Justice Gorsuch to wear a mask surprised us. It is false. While we may sometimes disagree about the law, we are warm colleagues and friends. Sotomayor, an Obama nominee, and Gorsuch, a Trump nominee, said in a joint statement sent to the Epoch Times by a court spokesperson. What? The Supreme Court? Listen, this is fascinating. The Supreme Court of America is sending corrections to a Chinese outlet, the Epoch Times, to correct an American media fake news about them. Plerom says, why the Epoch Times? I don't know. Probably because the Epoch Times wrote to them. The Epoch Times was one of the outlets that had covered the news story, so probably most media don't waste their time sending emails to the Supreme Court, and maybe the Epoch Times send the email saying, do you have any comments on this item? And they responded. Fascinating. I can't believe the situation we are in. Big tech will not undermine the alt-tech movement, a writing by Andrew Torba today about the whole Getter, Rumble, and Parler. After my last few blog posts, people have been messaging me and asking why I am criticizing alt-tech phonies like Getter, Rumble, and Parler when I should instead be focused on the common enemy of big tech. These people don't realize that by calling out these fakers, I am indeed focused on big tech, because they are nothing more than subversive subsidiaries of big tech itself. Very nice blog post here by Andrew Torba. He just says, look, this is fake alternative tech. Rumble, Parler, Getter, it's all fake alternative tech. It's all subsidiaries. They're all going to have to respect the app stores that they are slave to. And it's all going to end with the exact same rules as YouTube and the rest. There is no way you can escape these slavery systems other than by truly freeing yourself and truly building independent infrastructure the way Andrew Torba did. And I have to say I'm applauding. Like, good job. And it's true that Gab has been holding its side of the stick forever, and they have been circumventing all of the bans. They've been through it, whereas all these alternative techs, these fake alternative tech websites that are showing up, they don't have a history of demonstrating that much. Carnival says, Groypers rejection of your 26 lessons. Now, Baked Alaska is in jail. Nick Fuentes had 500,000 stolen by the FBI, and he's now subpoenaed by Congress for an insurrection investigation. And yet, I'm not optical enough for Nick Fuentes. It's like, I think that at some point, Nick Fuentes will be in jail. And I'm going to be like, hey, Nick, do you want something to eat? Maybe I can bring some water. And he's going to be like, no, Jeff, that wouldn't be very good for the optics. Well, Nick, you're in jail, you know. You're getting raped in the ass by your prisoner colleagues. Can I bring you something to help you maybe reduce the anal pain? And he'll be like, no, Jeff, I don't want to associate with you. You've once made a show with David Duke. I can't do it. Justet says, would it be too much work for you to include all article links you cover here on the show each time in either pre- or post-production in the extended description? You know what? I think it's good practice what you suggest. I've not been doing it I've not been doing it because there's so many links that I use every show. But you're right. People should have access to these things. So you know what? Let me think of a scripting way in which I could do this, because in the end, it's all on my Google Chrome. So if I can find a batch file that can extract every URL that I currently view, then it should be very easy to do. So let me think about it for a couple of days and I'll generate something. Baked just tweeted 20 minutes ago about Nick Subpoena 2. So I don't think he's in jail. Okay, so Baked Alaska, pray for Nick Fuentes. Okay. This one is a little bit, it's a little cruel. So they have, they are excluding young children from the Ronald McDonald House. It's a house that welcomes children with leukemia. But this child not only has leukemia, but also doesn't have the vaccine because it's not recommended in his case. And so his parents are, they're trying to get him to stay in the Ronald McDonald House because it's the only place where he will be properly cared for, you know, with his leukemia and stuff. But he's not vaxxed, so he has until a couple of weeks to leave because they don't want to welcome leukemic kids who don't have the vax.
I'm gonna go talk to people at the counter and see if it's legit, huh?
Because a vaccinated person can still get it and transmit it.
That's right. And so what we're trying to do is reduce our risks to the entire...
That doesn't make sense. Your conscience is seared. Do you understand? This is absolutely evil.
So do you want me to...
You're evicting kids with leukemia. Kids who have strokes.
So what if...
Kids with Down syndrome. Do you understand how evil this is?
Would you like to...
Where are we going to go?
Are you,
it's hard enough to get by and everything.
Are you using BCFRP? Are you being funded through
BCFRP
to stay here?
The cost for kids is helping us out, and then... Okay.
So even the kids with strokes and leukemia will not escape the rise of medical fascism. You have to get the vax. You have to signal your willingness to submit to the system. Hannah Horka, sex singer, dies after catching COVID intentionally. Oh my God, the fact checkers and the anti-misinformation people will be happy. This girl has decided that she would catch COVID deliberately. She was unvaccinated. She wanted to show that it's not dangerous. But she died. But that means that she was due to die. That's it. Some random bloke says, when you were a PhD student, how many academics were based? Seems that a few are that won't speak out. Also, are there any famous people who have reached out to you and agree with you? Well, Robert Rivers is one famous biologist who, I've said it publicly, he agrees with me. There's no one that contacted me in private to tell me that they agree with me. They wouldn't. It's too dangerous. But yeah, Robert Rivers is one example. Now, how many academics were based when I was a PhD student? Zero. You can have some people will be silent about the woke stuff, and you could imagine maybe some of them are based, but you would never express the based view. I would be the only one doing these things, like being very truly contradictory or contrarian in these fields. But the average people and the vast majority of people wouldn't do like me. The vast majority of people would either keep talking about how they're feminist and how they're this and that. And there was a little minority of people who would never comment on these questions. That's pretty much the two types that you have. Either you have full-blown people who claim they're feminist on an everyday basis, or you have people who, whenever the discussion of the woke happens, they just acquiesce, but they don't engage in a way that would allow one to determine, okay, you're full on leftist, or maybe you're a secret based person. But I would be the only one with deeply contrarian views and a deeply liberty oriented positioning. What else do we have? Styx appeals to people to move to alt tech. He's been doing it for many years. I think he's right. It's the time for alt tech. I don't know why it happened today. I don't know why it didn't happen 6 months ago or a year ago, but I think that somehow alt tech needed to be taken through a loop. Alt tech needed to be confronted to all its difficulties and to reemerge from it, and Gab needed to be banned from these app stores so that eventually we would see, okay, it's possible to survive without these app stores. We needed to go through many iterations and many attempts at trial and error, but now I think is the time for alt tech to fully flourish, fully bloom into what it is meant to become. Disclose that TV reports, but Biden has said something. It's already been canceled by his staff, okay? But he said, on Russia invading Ukraine, it depends. If it's it's one thing if it's a minor incursion. So someone was asking him, how would you respond, you know, to an invasion of Ukraine by Russia? And Biden, instead of saying what he should have said, according to his staff, of course, he should have said, we will respond strongly and there will be no single act of aggression that will ever be accepted. He said, it depends. If it's a minor incursion, I don't know, maybe.
I think what you're going to see is that Russia will be held accountable if it invades. And it depends on what it does. It's one thing if it's a minor incursion, and then we end up having a fight about what to do and not do, etc. So I think.
So this guy just freed the potentiality for Putin to maybe do a little act of aggression, and maybe there won't be any response. Absolutely bad look here. AP slammed for falsely stating that Florida anti-CRT bill prohibits making white people feel discomfort. Nowhere in the legislation does it specify any singular race. If that was the tweet by the Associated Press, a Florida bill that would prohibit public schools and private businesses from making white people feel discomfort when they teach students or train employees about discrimination in the nation's past received its first approval Tuesday. Yeah, that is a totally improper description of what this bill is. It's a bill about you can't have an anti-discrimination course that is intrinsically and heavily discriminatory in and of itself. So that it's not about white people feeling good. But the Associated Press has totally lost its status as a fact-checking and journalistic agency. It's now full into the woke stuff. All right. Justed says, so glad JFG is here on Odyssey, now and officially into the alt-tech on the ground floor. Innovators are ahead of the curve. Yes, and this is what we will keep doing. We are headed toward our conclusion because we have our private Patreoning out coming. If you want to subscribe to the Patreon or the Subscribestar at the $20 level, we will have our private meeting in 45 minutes from now. There was a couple of news items. Leader McConnell says that radicals on the other side are prepared to break the United States Senate. So we are probably headed toward a vote where the Democrats will deny the the filibuster, the idea that the Senate must reach 60 votes rather than 50, because the Democrats are tired and they want to pass their agenda. We'll see how it goes. England ends all COVID passports, mask mandates, and work restrictions. Thank God, and it's about time. What could have been different if we had done this a year ago? What did we save? Who did we save? We saved nothing. You wanted to slow down the spread. You've slowed down, and then the spread happened. And then we find ourselves with no measure of success of any kind. For more than a year of sacrifices, of destruction of the economy, of crap. Disclosed.tv says Bill Gates advocates for aggressive policies and carbon taxes to drive the demand for clean products at Klaus Schwab's World Economic Forum. So Bill Gates is appealing for carbon taxes. Of course, he's been interfering with business rights in the COVID shutdowns, and now he wants to interfere with business rights in the environmental domain. So in the end, what he wants to do is interfere with everyone, with every possible justification he can find. Breaking, the White House just walked back the President Biden's horrifying Ukraine comments. So that is the update. What Biden has said about Ukraine has been withdrawn. And finally, oh yeah, this news item I've already covered. So the last news item could be this one. A technical sell signal with a 100% hit rate for dip buyers just triggered. It's crunch time for the buy the dip crowd. The S&P 500 is threatening to close below its 100-day average, having already slipped below that measure intraday Tuesday for the first time in more than 3 months. So there's a big question right now about whether we are in an economic crash that may be happening, or whether this dip will be bought. You know, previous dips of that kind have been bought before. Here. But the stock market right now is showing a flimsy attitude right here. And my take on this is we may be in a crash. I'm still keeping my Bitcoins because I think first, Bitcoin have a chance to actually survive the crash. And Bitcoin have a chance to shine in a crash. And also because worst case scenario, I'll sell my Bitcoins in 3-4 years from now. I think we haven't seen the top price of Bitcoin yet. So that is it for tonight for the regular show. However, join the Patreon or the Subscribestar if you want to get your link and talk to me in private, in the private show in 40 minutes from now. Much love, everyone. See you all tonight in 40 minutes. Bye-bye.